It was one of those sights that stopped you in your tracks. A mass of people were huddled inside the Novotel Hotel as I passed it on my way to work. I'd become a restaurant manager in order to keep a low profile. I was good at hiding, but these people weren't. They were gathered in a huge mass in the hotel lobby. People were making phone calls and arguing next to piles of luggage. Some just stood off in the corners quietly with a single suitcase. Black people mixed chaotically with white people, ignoring the racial boundaries that I was used to seeing. They were nervous, agitated, relieved, and dumbfounded. Their faces said it all. They were feeling the loss of the life they had left behind. They were Rwandan refugees. Their president had just been shot down in his plane along with our president. It was an event that would scar the fates of our countries indefinitely. Masses of refugees were beginning to flood into Burundi, but I was doubtful that they could find conditions here much better, and it was apparent that so many of them had seen horrible things. While Rwanda was experiencing a fast and furious genocide, hundreds of thousands of Burundians had already been murdered. But the killings were only just progressing in Burundi. The growing number of orphans was enough to make one weep. When I left my government job, I told everyone that I was leaving to pursue my studies and join my girlfriend in France. It was the best excuse I had at the time, and I had to use it. My extended family members were adding to the tally of victims. My mom's cousin, Antoine Nahimana, and his family, along with mom's auntie Bernadette and another cousin's husband, were all crushed beneath the heels of the country's racial rift. As news hit us of our relatives' deaths, I understood more how Burundi had completely changed. It had once been a beautiful land of abundant agriculture. People had been farmers, not killers. But now their mindsets had changed, and this reflected even in their language. Hutus started saying, "Inivo ni ugutwi," as a measurement which meant the level at which you chopped someone's head right at the ears. Tutsis started calling Hutus Iboro, which meant a target for shooting practice. Civil war mentality was upon us. Fear and rumors and gunfire and death were everywhere. I was grateful to have survived this long and was grateful to have my mom, brothers, and sisters in a safe place. The apartment complex where I lived set up a security system, as did all neighborhoods. Watchmen rotated shifts throughout the day and night. I helped patrol because I was one of the few people who owned a gun. Although I didn't want to own a gun, I was content to know that if someone tried to get to my family, they would have to get past all of my bullets first.